This is Careers in Podcasting and New Media with Douglas E. Welch. For more information, visit our website, welchwrite.com/CIP. That's welchwrite.com/CIP.
My name is Douglas Welch. If you don't know me already, I'm the guy with the blinking red name tag, so you should all know my name by now. This is Podcasting Now, and I'll give you a little bit of what that means in a second. I typically talk about podcasting. I'm one of the first 20 podcasters. I've been podcasting since September 2004, when the term was invented in like the second week of 2004, of September 2004. What's happened since in the 3.5 years that I've been podcasting is suddenly we have a variety of services out there that basically make it totally easy to podcast, even if you don't have a website. You can be walking down the street and basically post a podcast in a variety of ways. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. First of all, how many people think that posting a video to YouTube is podcasting? Anybody? Okay. And I'm going to say this not because I'm this total purist about podcasting, but the fact is YouTube is streaming, and Blip TV is streaming, and other video sites are streaming, which means you basically have to be at your computer to watch the video. Now, beyond the iPhone, which has YouTube and stuff like that, you're basically tied to your computer. Podcasting is a on-demand medium. It's what you want, where you want it, when you want it. And the fact is you actually want to be doing both of those. You want to be putting your stuff on the video sharing sites because there's a certain group of people who deal with that. And you also want to be podcasting because what you do with podcasting is you start to develop a group of subscribers who basically give you permission by subscribing to your RSS feed that they want to get every time you release a show, they want to get it. And it's kind of two different audiences. So, what do you need to podcast? Well, first of all, you need content, which if you're already putting on YouTube, you've already got the content, right? Second, you need a web host, someplace out there in the internet cloud to store your data, right? And then finally, you need an RSS feed. Well, if you've ever been on YouTube, you know they really don't offer an RSS feed that allows you to view the actual videos. You can subscribe to that in a text RSS program, but then you have to click and go to the YouTube site. With a podcast, the files, the video files or audio files, are actually delivered directly to your computer. And also, if you have an iPod, to your iPod. So theoretically, when I get up in the morning, my iPad's been plugged in overnight, I unplug it, I now have my own personalized radio and TV station on my iPod, because theoretically, everything on it is something I have subscribed to, so therefore everything on there is something I might want to watch. That's the freedom that you get with podcasting. You also avoid what I'm sure you've all seen, and one of you, if you saw me playing the videos earlier, the old YouTube jerk, which is you know, if you're on a bad connection, you end up with that herky jerkiness, which we all adapt to over time. We're sort of used to that, but it's kind of annoying if you're trying to watch a video that you really want to watch. So before, you had to go out and set up your website. You had to have some sort of blogging software on your website that supported an RSS feed that also supported, you know, carrying enclosures like audio and video down the pipe. Nowadays, one of the neatest services that I've come across recently is a site called Utterz, UTTERZ.com, okay? And they're brand new. They're actually doing some really neat stuff. And it's also one of the sites where I actually put in a feature request that actually got accepted. So I'm really happy with it. Anyway, with Utterz, what you can do at the most basic level, you get online, you set up your free Utterz account. At the very basics, you can then pick up your phone, you can dial, let me see, UUT. Oh, I hate doing typing on the phone. UU. There. You dial Utterz. And I'll turn on the speakerphone here so you can hear it.
Now is be heard. For options, press pound when you're done.
Hello, everybody. This is Douglas from WelchWrite.com, WelchWrite.com. And I'm here in my Barcamp LA 5 session, and I'm demoing Udders.com to all the people here in the room. So this is a way that you can record an audio call, of course, at phone quality, and basically have it not just posted to the Udders site, but I'll show you it can also go other places. So thanks again. Talk to you later. I press 3.
Thanks. Utter again. Press 2.
Okay, and that's it. So basically, I just recorded a podcast. And it can be pretty much any length. There's probably a theoretical limit on how long you can record, but that's basically it. Now, if I go to Udders.com and I click on My Udders, we should see it right there. Come on, play, please. Oh, stop. Now, the other neat feature about this is it's got the audio ready. I can also, from my phone, within 10 minutes, I can actually send a picture from my phone. I can send text from my phone, and it will automatically associate it with the last post I did. So not only can I have the audio, I can have a photograph, and I can actually have some text on there as well. That's some of the neat features that they've included in this. Of course, it's not loading, but that's probably my computer, not their service. Let's try it one more time. You see it did show up there. Now, the other thing I did, I've been having some trouble with Udders because of the network here, so it's been playing other ones, but maybe it's not going to play us back. When I hit 3, it said hit 3 to auto post, because on my Udders account, not only does it appear on the Udders site, I have preset my blogs and Twitter and some other services that they support in my Udders account. When I press 3, it automatically actually posted this to, as well, I should say, over to my catch-all blog at My Word, and it's not showing up there yet either. Oh, you know, it's because we're still in the 10-minute waiting window. Within 10 minutes, it'll show up on my blog as well, and it will Twitter it. Now, the fact is, I don't need my own website, though, as I was discussing before, because Udders does a great thing, which on my Udders page, you'll notice there's a little RSS emblem. They actually fully support RSS. People can follow just my Udders, or if they want, they can actually subscribe to mine and all the people I am following. Just like Twitter and other friend sites, you can follow other people and they can follow you. And then people could actually listen to my whole group that I'm following if you wanted to do that. The RSS feeds work perfectly in iTunes. You can actually, if you wanted to, you could give them out to people and say, here's my podcast, subscribe here. And they could enter it into iTunes. You could even submit that RSS feed to iTunes directly. So basically, you have no website, you have no infrastructure, you can just using Udders to basically run your whole podcast. Now, would you want to do that forever? Probably not. Now, if you're a very mobile person, you're out there kind of running around all the time, this might be a solution for you for a good long time. But most of us want to branch out a little bit. Now, the other thing that you can do with Udders, too, is you can actually record audio or video directly from the website, just like you can with YouTube Quick Capture. When you go to YouTube and just hit the button, the flash player comes up, you say, yes, you can have my camera, and you just record. You can do that with Udders as well, although right now on this network, it's not working for me. So you could also have video. Now, the trouble with video via Udders is I don't believe it actually goes down the RSS feed correctly into iTunes. Audio works great. That's okay, though, because there's also another service I want to introduce you to, which you don't know, which you may not know about already, but you probably see people using, and that's Blip TV. I have basically been an audio podcaster for a long time, but I've started to do more and more video as time goes by because simply video is much more intimate than audio, which is much more intimate than text. And the fact, if people can see my gestures, if they can see my facial expressions, I'm actually communicating with them more clearly. What Blip has allowed me to do is they will host my iPod-ready video files, so I don't have to serve them up from my own site, because they can get kind of large. They also provide me the ability, they'll also make me a nice flash player for my website. So if we go to My Word here, and let's go to Technology IQ. I recorded a little video this morning on this digital still camera, which I tend to use more than I use my video camera because, of course, that's on tape. This is on card. It's on an SD card. Well, guess what? When I go to pull that in, it's a one-to-one ratio. It takes me as long to digitize the tape as it took me to record it. Where this, all the only time it takes me is how long it takes to copy the digital file from this card to the computer. What I'd really love to get is a Sanyo Zakti. I've seen someone around here with one. It's a little kind of pistol grip camcorder, also a still camera. It records directly to SD cards. And so if you're doing a lot of video, that's another great thing to look into because it really cuts down the amount of time digitizing from tape. So here's the video that I took this morning. Literally recorded to this, stuck it in my laptop, which happened to have a card slot, uploaded it directly from the card. I didn't even copy to the laptop. I just said send it up from the card. On Blip, then, there are several sharing opportunities, and I'm able to say, okay, it gets it. It converts it to Flash, so I get this nice little Flash player that goes on my site because it's important to give people that option. A lot of people...
This is Douglas. We are at Barcamp LA5. It's the second day here, and of course, these tech guys are all a bunch of...
A lot of people come to your site, and they're not subscribers. They just want to see the video. So you always give them a Flash player so it's very easy for them to just click once and it plays. Now the other thing that happens though is down below that little sample video over there, this little thing that said click to play, hidden in that little click to play is actually a link to the original MOV QuickTime file that came out of my camera. So that anyone who subscribed to my blog automatically got a podcast download of the same video without any action on their part. So I get the best of both worlds. I get the nice Flash player for the site, but also anyone who subscribed, who I should be kind of catering to anyway, because they've decided, hey, I want to get everything he does, automatically goes down. And that's one of the reasons I went to Blip. They're one of the few that actually support that delivery of that underlying file. Typically, I'd have to take the file, upload it to my own website, link to it manually, and kind of do all that work myself. Here, from Blip, there are sharing options where I say, okay, that blog, this blog, Twitter it, put it on MySpace and make a MySpace bulletin, and there are several other services they support. So with one click, it just goes out to all these different places. So if I'm out, like I am today, you know, out at bar camp or somewhere else, I don't really want to be fiddling with too much stuff while I'm out. I just want to basically get it out. That's a perfect thing for me because with one touch, it just goes everywhere. Now, I might go home later and clean it up. If I did an utters earlier in the day and I didn't send the text, I didn't put a title on or something, I'll typically go back, title it, maybe add a picture after the fact if I have time. But the fact is you don't have to do that either. Another nice thing about utters, of course, is you can actually listen to utters on your phone too. If you have people you're following and you're bored waiting in line at the post office, you can actually dial the utters number and then say listen to utters and listen to utters over there. And one nice thing it does is if it's a video that someone's put up on utters, it'll actually at least play you the audio. And it tells you, it says, this is the audio from a video post on utters, and play it for you. As you might imagine, when we get stuff like the N95 phones and Nokia 95, which a couple of people have had here, and all the higher functionality phones, now we can stream video live from our cell phones. There's several services that just came out. Quick.com, Q-I-K.com is one of those services. Literally on your phone, you say, okay, connect to Quick and start broadcasting. So it's only getting more so. Now, the one issue with many of these sites, they tend to lock their video up into Flash video files, FLV files. And we're having a big discussion about this right now because it's nearly impossible. Everyone will tell you, oh, you can convert Flash files to MP4, no problems. And the fact is, no, there's lots of problems. So if you're exclusively using a service like this or like YouTube Quick Capture or something that captures your video into FLV files, you may not be able to get it out. Well, as a podcaster like me, it's important that I have an iPod-ready file. I have a move file or an M4V file or some sort of file that can move minimally to the computer, maximally to the iPod itself. With Seismic, with Utters Direct Recording, with Quick.com, you're kind of stuck. I can't complete the other half of that equation. And the reason I want to do that is, as I said before, streaming is one side of it, podcasting is the other. You actually want to be doing both of those. Because what you'll find is your audiences are somewhat split between the two. It's like when I started podcasting, I thought originally I started podcasting my career column. It was a print column. I figured this is just another way for people to get my column. Well, what I found out was totally two different audiences. There are people that read the column, and there are people that listen to the column, and almost no overlap in between. The same thing also applies to these types of videos. There are a certain amount of people that watch on the website. There's a certain amount of people who want it as a podcast, and they tend to be discrete audiences. So what you're doing when you provide another method of accessing your video or your audio, you're actually increasing your audience because of that lack of overlap. That make sense? One of the things I've done for Udders, I needed a new headphone anyway, a new Bluetooth headset for my phone. I don't know if you've seen these before. It's a Aleph Jawbone, yeah. And one of the nice things it has is noise reduction. And I've been able to basically be driving down the road in my car with this on and record in Udders, and it sounds like I'm sitting basically at my home phone. I mean, it's still phone quality, of course, but car noise, wind noise, whatever, you don't get it at all. I can be walking down the street, and it really doesn't bother it. I needed a new headset anyway, and when I saw their demo on their site for this headset, I said, I need that one. So, because I was starting to do more Udders and more mobile kind of podcasting things. Often what I'll find myself doing is, I'm a computer consultant by trade. I'll be leaving a client, and it's like, I will have run into something particular with that client. I'll actually make a podcast for my technology blog while I'm driving either to the next call or driving home. So it really expands your capabilities in that regard, too, that you can capture ideas when they strike you. And some people will say, well, you shouldn't be just popping off about this, that, or the other. And the fact is, if you don't capture ideas, you can actually, you know, you'll lose them. And when I was talking about my visibility talk yesterday, I said, this is my main capture device. I carry this around with me. And when I have an idea for my career column or for the tech column or a podcast or whatever, I jot it down. So that the next time I sit down to write a career column, I don't have to sit there and go, oh, what was I thinking about? There was some idea I had. No, I just go through my list of ideas and say, oh, yeah, that one's a good one. I'll write about that one today. And it really helps your flow, and you don't feel quite so stressed if you're trying to create content on a regular basis, because you've sort of already captured the nugget of the idea, and then it's just expanding on the idea. You're not trying to pull ideas out of thin air. This book actually works two ways. It works as a independent pages, like there's Career Op, there's Tech IQ, and stuff like this, kind of category pages. And then if you flip it over, it's actually more of a chronological journal where I take notes about my clients, or, you know, I was working with someone, or I'm at a bar camp convention, I make notes about that. These sites like Udders and Blip and other things sort of act like an electronic extension to this. As I said, when I'm driving home from a client, I can say, oh, boop. You know, I even have it set to voice dial from the Jawbone. I don't have to dial the phone. I just reach up and say, Udders, and it dials the number. Yes, sir?
Another service that's useful for that is Jot.
Jot is different. It's good. I use the heck out of it. In fact, if you look at my Gmail account, you'll see Jot notices throughout the whole thing. Jot is an interesting service, and you can use it as kind of a micro-blogging tool, too, because what Jot is Jot will actually, you can leave a 15-second message. And some person, it's actually human done, listens to your message and then emails it to you at the minimal method. Or you can actually set up to automatically post to your Blogger blog or your WordPress blog. Or you can post to a service called I Want Sandy, which is a reminder service. Or you can set it up to Twitter. You can actually Twitter from your phone without texting anything. You just call, leave your Twitter, and they will post it to Twitter for you. That's another reason I got the Jawbone, too. It's because often when I'm leaving a client, it's like, I'll leave a note. You know, okay, bill such and such for 1 hour of service or something like that. And a lot of different reminders that way. It's not useful for longer things. Like with Udders, I can leave a 20-minute podcast if I wanted. Jot is limited to 15 seconds. And its whole purpose is really to convert that to text. When I use Jot, by the way, I typically repeat the message twice. It makes accuracy nearly 100% because the person hearing it hears it twice. And
could they transcribe it twice?
No, that's a nice thing. That's how I knew it was human. Because I would repeat the message twice, but it only got transcribed once. So it's like, okay, someone actually heard the message twice and only typed it in once. So that was sort of a little test I did one day, actually, to see. Because there was some discussion about, was it real or was it not? So, one of the things you can do, as I said with Blip, is I can visit Blip directly. I can upload directly from this card. I can also, through a variety of methods, send video from my phone. I can email it to Udders. and it will post it as well. And so there's a variety of ways of getting your data over to these various services. What time is it? 4 o'clock. That is pretty much what I had on these specialized services. But I'd like to basically open it up for question and answer on anything about podcasting new media. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any way of getting metrics from your podcast and all the various places that are?
Pretty much every service, even YouTube, provides some sort of gross counter.
Right.
You've had this many views. Well, with iTunes, if you're serving up the files yourself, you have the log files, which I highly recommend to. If you're running a website and you don't have access to your raw log files, get them, because they are golden to you for a variety of reasons. One is they're hard numbers, which are hard to get, and the numbers are locked in there somewhere. For the other sites, some are more, like Blip has pretty good metrics. They'll actually show you where, when, which file specifically, stuff like that. It's a little hard to get the data out. You pretty much have to transcribe it yourself.
Yeah, I think they have an API. But I don't
know. Yeah, they may have an API there as well. The way I describe it, too, is if you consider what fiction the Nielsen ratings are, anything you get is better than Nielsen's. So in some regards, I think people are a little more forgiving, because you can actually say, well, I can't say they actually watched it, but I can say they downloaded it.
Right.
No, not yet. With the developments we're seeing in the podcast and new media space, it's coming. It's going to have to, because as advertisers get more and more into it, the fact is there will have to be something to serve it. So I would expect that. Now, in this case, this is one way I'm monetizing my podcast. This is Blip providing this ad.
Right.
Blip is tracking the resources on this, and I really had to do nothing except click a checkbox to put an ad here.
You almost need like Google Analytics that you can embed on your different
things. Right. I know someone who is developing something where it's almost like a wrapper. He has one for FLV and one for MLB. So the QuickTime one is a Java
There's a service called PodTrack, which tracks a variety of things, and Google Analytics both will do this, although you have to be careful because sometimes it breaks links, because some software doesn't deal with it really well. But both of them provide basically a PHP-style wrapper that basically says...
You can use it on your own site, but you can use that on YouTube, for example.
Right.
But you could use it, for example, on your site. If you link to a Blip TV video from your site, you could wrap it. So you could capture a little bit more. You couldn't capture everything, but you could capture a little bit more. You could at least capture those people who viewed the video from your site. The other thing that bothers me a little bit about all the different statistics reporting right now, there's no auditing. I have to trust Blip. I have to trust Blip and say, okay, you told me I had 3 clicks, I had 3 clicks. As money starts to get more and more into this, people are going to start looking for contracts that give them auditing rights of the raw files. Because if you're doing, you're not like me, I'm doing a couple bucks, you know, if you're doing $10,000, you're going to want to audit that and make sure it's $10,000 and not $30,000. So I think you're also going to see some advances there where you'll be able to go in and basically audit your earnings from these various sites. Otherwise, people are going to start abandoning them in lieu of their own personalized advertising things that they've got set up on their own. Anything else? Anybody else? That's it? Yes, sir.
Do you recommend, if I wanted to, let's say, have everything integrated on my own site, serve everything off my own site, is there a particular software or architecture that you recommend, like Drupal or something?
You know, I'm because I've done it so long, I have kind of a big group of legacy things I'm doing. Everything originally was Blogger blogs. The next blog I set up after those, I actually did a WordPress blog, and now I've gone back and converted one of my Blogger blogs to a WordPress blog. And I'm probably moving in the WordPress direction. There's some great tools for WordPress, one being PodPress, which is a
box.
Show in a Box is another one, yes. Clintus McGintis from Phoenix just recently converted that, and it looks really nice. And it's a free theme plugin, whole kind of, it's literally a Show in the Box. You get the whole package and you install it, and it's there. Either one of those really helps to integrate media into your blogs or whatever. Because basically, if you're putting out media, you're putting it out through a blog. That's your release mechanism these days, pretty much, whether it's a WordPress blog or a Blogger blog or whatever. I really haven't had much trouble with either one. I'm trying to think. I don't use, again, because I'm legacy, I don't use the PodPress on WordPress because I've already got my own methods of releasing stuff. I'm sorry. There was one site, and I did not write it down, even though I want to talk about it. If you're using Udders or Blip or something else without your own website, one thing you probably want to do is, and this is because it grants you some flexibility down the road, is to set up a free account with feedburner.com. Feedburner, to me, was a godsend when it came out, because previous, for at least 9 months, first 9 months of my podcasting life, I was hand-coding my RSS feed. I was literally copying, pasting, editing the date, it was a real pain in the butt to do. And if you made one mistake in there, your whole feed would like fly apart. FeedBurner basically takes any raw RSS feed. For example, Blogger blogs in their initial versions had no support for podcasting at all. They could not carry an enclosure. That's why I had to hand code a special feed that had the enclosures. Now, when FeedBurner came around, I could take the raw Atom feed that Blogger's creating, feed it into FeedBurner, and FeedBurner puts out this lovely, nice feed with all the iTunes tags, all the special features, advertising, whatever I want to put in there, it's there, and I don't have to worry about it. So you could start using, say, Udders. Drive your Udders feed through FeedBurner. You could then put an iTunes logo in there, all the iTunes categories, and then feed that feed into iTunes, and it would look like any other podcast. It wouldn't matter because it dresses it up for you. So if you're thinking of using any of these services, one of the nice things is just to get a free FeedBurner account. This is owned by Google now, by the way. Like pretty much every Google or Yahoo owns everything pretty much anymore. Really does a nice job. And it's been almost entirely unproblematical. There have been a few outages here and there, but you had problems with FeedBurner?
Yeah, I tried to set it up from Rever to get stuff on iTunes, and there's some weird thing. It's been a couple of months now, like gave up on it, but there's some weird glitch that it doesn't recognize, iTunes can't pick up the thing that, it was either the pick or the,
well,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's the title of the video, and you can't go into FeedBurner and edit it.
No, it's.
So I have the one-to-one training at the Apple store, and they're like, you just need to code it yourself.
And that's partially an issue of Rever 2. Does Rever actually put out an iPod compatible file, an iTunes compatible file?
They recommend you use FeedBurner.
Well, but see, the trouble is, I don't think Rever is, unlike Blip, I mean, this is the reason I use Blip and not Rever.
Uh-huh.
Rever, if I send up an iPod ready file, they'll serve out an iPod ready file. Rever, I don't think, does it. I think Rever converts it to FLY, and that's the FLV, and that's all you get. And so iTunes will never pick up that file because it does not.
I know artists on Rever that successfully have iTunes, lots of subscribers on iTunes, and they use FeedBurner. Like, I know that.
Find out. Okay, the question to find out for them, they might be doing the trick I talked about before, where they have the actual iPod ready file like over on their site. There's probably, you should be able, if someone's doing it, you should be able to do it. But you need to figure out exactly what's Rever sending out for you in that RSS file, because I don't know for sure, but I don't think they send out an M4V file, for example. They convert it to FLY, and then they might throw that at iTunes, and iTunes just ignores it, because it doesn't know what to do with it. That's one great thing I'd love to see with iTunes, is have it recognize FLVs, because then I would get around this problem of conversion and stuff. That'll happen long after I'm dead, I'm sure. Try that. Now, the other problem I have had with FeedBurner is some wrappers. It doesn't like some wrappers. Sometimes the wrapper does not send the appropriate MIME type to FeedBurner, and FeedBurner says, okay, that's a program link. What am I going to do with it? That link, that wrapper is supposed to send a thing that says, I'm a media file. And if it doesn't, FeedBurner will just ignore it. So there's a couple elements that happen there. If someone's doing it, though, you should be able to do it. Yes?
What are the two? Okay, so there's RSS. What is the iPod compatible RSS?
Well, RSS 1.0 has no support for enclosures. It cannot carry any file attachments with it at all. And that's what 2.0 is, the enclosure-ready RSS file. Typically, you can send pretty much anything. You can make anything an enclosure, WMV, PDF, M4V, MOV, Windows Media Files, whatever. Now, the point is, can someone view it at the other end? Officially, RSS 2.0 will carry an enclosure for an FLV file, but the trouble is, someone like me is using iTunes, it just ignores it. There are other pod catchers that will download the FLVs and allow you to view them. iTunes does not. Unfortunately, iTunes is what I always recommend for the beginners because it's simply the easiest. It's the most direct, it's free, it's multi-platform, and you know, just here, go download this and you can start podcatching basically. PDFs, iTunes, I don't know if you're, iTunes will download and show you a PDF right instead of iTunes. You know, so there are other file types that it will do. Because I'm dealing in the world where the iPod is still, you know, the predominant portable media player, minimally, I want something in that format because it's the fussy sibling of all of them out there. The fact is, any file that plays on the iPod, the Zune and everything else will get it fine because they do MPEG-4 plus. Well, the iPod only does MPEG-4. And so if I go to that, you know, this unruly stepchild, then I know it's going to work on everything else. So that's the issue you sometimes run into with different file types. I try to keep it to M4Vs and MP3s and occasionally a PDF. Those are pretty safe file types that nearly everything will be able to play, every computer and every portable player. That make sense? That's why, by the way, that the enhanced podcast spec, I don't know if you've ever heard of the enhanced podcast, they're basically an AAC file, which is Apple's kind of specialized codec that can carry pictures that get triggered at various parts in the audio. They can have different chapters. They can have links. The only thing that plays them, iTunes or an iPod. And the fact is, since they don't play in other players, I personally think that's why they haven't caught on, because you basically have to have two feeds, one for your iPod people and one for everybody else, which is, for most of us who are podcasting, that's just too damn much work. You know, we want to put it up and be done with it. So does that help at all? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I'm also wondering a follow-up. So do you focus, you obviously like Live TV, and that's what we use at our work.
Well, you know, and I've only been using them for a couple months, but the thing that they did for me is I used to have to have the iPod ready file myself, make the link myself. Now, because they carry it, oh, it's so much easier. I can basically, with one click, post and go boom, and I'm done.
Blip.
Blip.tv, B-L-I-P. Oh, YouTube. Okay, does YouTube videos look like ass, or is it just me? Okay, yeah, they are horrible. Blip, and Blip is betaing right now HD. Now I do, and I do nothing in HD, but it's coming, so be ready for it. Yeah, I find Blip just does better. Now I also found out using Final Cut/anything. I'm using Final Cut Express, which is like the mini version. The video, it turns out, is much better than iMovie. iMovie is crunching stuff a little harder.
What about iMovie HD?
Even iMovie 08 or HD, both of them, I just noticed this because I did my first video in Final Cut Express, and when I uploaded to Blip, I'm like, what the hell happened? Because it looked about, you know, 50% better, if you will, just because it came out of a different program. Because then I'm shooting it with this, so this is pretty ratty to begin with. This is convenient, as I was saying. I don't know if you were here earlier. I was saying, basically, since this records to memory card, I tend to shoot out and about videos with this because to digitize from tape, you know, it takes me 1-to-1 time ratio to get it off the tape.
Yeah.
Now, tonight I'll go home, I'll digitize my two talks from the weekend, and I'll do that. But this is just so much simpler if you're out and about. Plus, I can stick this in my laptop and go. I don't have to worry about FireWire cables or anything else. This isn't the greatest video, but it looks 100% better when I shot it out of Final Cut Express rather than iMovie. So the other issue with iMovie 08, it's a great little program. It's not designed for you and I. It's designed for beginners. And it is designed in a way that frustrates the living daylights out of anyone that knows how to edit video. iMovie HD had a timeline, and so that's what I was using. Because what I'm doing now is I'm recording myself locally here. I'm recording the video there. I'm going to take these home and sync them up. That's why I did the hand clap at the beginning. Can't do that in iMovie 08. iMovie 08 has no timeline. And you basically cannot cannot do that. There's no way. There's nothing to line it up to. So that's also why I got a copy of Final Cut Express. Yes, that is true. They're pushing you up the path. Now, the way I got Final Cut Express cheaply, and I recommend this to all my clients, if you have any affiliation with a college or a university, $69 at the Claremont Graduate University Bookstore. Thank you. You know, you can get Final Cut Studio for hundreds of dollars less than you can, you know, if you buy this $500 package at the store. So be aware of that. Use that to your advantage. I'm actually now an instructor at UCLA Extension, so actually I can get a Bruin card and actually get the UCLA discount as well myself. I've been piggybacking my wife's affiliations with various colleges, but that's another way to do it too. It's just go ahead and get, you know, if you have any, have a friend. Just have them go buy it for you. All they need is an ID. And that's, you know, we're not rich. You know, if we were rich, we wouldn't be doing new media. We'd be doing broadcast TV or something. Although, frankly, I consider broadcast TV a downturning and new media an upturning. So, frankly, I'd rather be over here anyway. Trying to explain that to my TV writing wife is... trying to explain that to my television writing wife is a little difficult. She's coming around, though. Anything else today? Viddler's like, I have not played, you know, there's so many sites that I think I just created a Viddler account the other day. I don't like spreading my stuff too many places, just for the, it's hard to manage.
And I think it's attached to certain other services, like if you Tumblr and video, they say, well, sign up for...
Yeah, because they have APIs that tie into each other, and you're starting to see more and more of that. I think from Blip I can post to Tumblr too, I think. They support a lot of different services. I have some people who swear by Viddler. I mean, Clintus, the guy I mentioned from Phoenix, who's like a daily video blogger, he uses Viddler. Viddler has some nice features also as far as their player goes, in that you can mark portions of the video. You can mark it up. And when people embed it, they can embed the whole video, or they can embed and bring people right to a specific section of the video, which I saw the other day, which is sort of a neat feature. They all have different feature sets, and they're all trying to figure out, you know, what people use the most. No. I don't think any of the services officially in release form support HD at all. They're all toying with it. They're all betaing it. I've seen examples of it. But I don't think any of them have it turned on for the general populace yet. One of the big problems is the files are huge. And it's an interesting thing, too, because you wonder about if you're taking HD and you're showing it here, how much HD you're really getting by the time it gets put in the Flash player. And so you have to think, is it really worth another 200 megabytes of upload and download for the bump, the slight bump you get? The fact is, your source video coming in, the higher quality that is, the higher quality your output video is, regardless of whether it's HD or not. So it's going to take a while, I think, before HD really becomes out there, because frankly, most of us don't have big enough connections. I mean, my cable modem would scream at me trying to download lots and lots of HD. I'll load out an HD trailer every so often, but even then, you can hear it grunting. I mean, it really is grinding on. And now the ISPs are complaining about all the video data. So we got that whole battle going on there as well. So probably not immediately. You're probably, for as far as the HD world goes, you're probably, if you really want HD content out there, you're probably better delivering it via Blu-ray or something like that. Just because, you know, there's only so much pipe out there. And if we clog it up with HD, you know, what benefit is it if you slow down everything? So, you know, that's my personal opinion. It's coming. If all new technologies eventually arrive, just when is it the right moment for it? But I have people who are, like, clamoring for it a lot. They really, really want it. Me? I don't care. You know, it's, thank you very much for coming. If you have any other questions, please hunt me down. I'll be here for another hour or so, probably this afternoon, and I'd be happy to answer anything else I can for you.
This is Careers in Podcasting and New Media with Douglas E. Welch. For more information, visit our website, welchwrite.com/CIP. That's welchwrite.com/CIP. This show is a production of welchwrite.com, welchwrite.com.